The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to this church in Ephesus. Paul is praying for them as he's instructing them. And the last time we stopped with verse 13. And he said, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." The Apostle Paul was a prisoner. He was a prisoner in Rome. But he told them, he said, don't be dismayed concerning the trials and the sufferings that I've been called upon to endure for the gospel's sake. Don't be afraid. Don't be a coward. If God has called for us to suffer for His name's sake, and let me say this. Every trial that we go through, a believer is like everybody else, an unbeliever. We suffer just like everyone suffers. We get sick just like everybody gets sick. We have trials and tribulations. But the difference between a believer suffering, and it may be that he's called upon to suffer in particular for the gospel that he loves and preaches, but whether it's a trial concerning our faith, whether it's a trial concerning the afflictions of our body, the Lord so orders all trials that a believer goes through for His glory and for our good. A believer looks at it differently. He knows what he's going through. This is ordered by the Lord. He knows that. Whenever we're sick, whenever there's problems, with our families or friends or whatever, a believer sees it for what it is. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I said this, all of these, and just turn on the TV, and it's just, there's trouble in this country, there's trouble everywhere, all over the world, it's battles and terror. Listen, don't be dismayed. I'm not trying to make it to be an insignificant thing. It's a heinous thing. It's evil. But Almighty God, who rules and reigns heaven, earth, all things ordered by the Lord according to His purpose, working together for good, turning these things for our good. And as I said, these things and mess and stuff that we see going on in this world, I'm telling you, Almighty God is working these things for the salvation of His elect, calling out His people. Now, knowing that, we can rest, we can be settled, and thank God that He's in control. So Paul said, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." It's going to work for your good, for your peace, and for your comfort. Let our hearts be settled. And then in 14, he said, For this cause. What cause? Well, actually, going back to verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, Paul had made this statement in verse 1 of chapter 3, and then he expounded some things up until this verse right here. Now he says, "For this cause, For this cause, he said in verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentile. In Rome, a Roman prison. But he said, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sent here by God's good pleasure. For this cause, he said, because I'm in jail, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, this is where the Lord put me. This is where I am to minister at this time. And I bow to Him who chose to show mercy to me. Listen to this. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Paul said, I bow my knee unto the one who put me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Himself, of whom, by God's will, to show mercy, choosing, putting me in the surety Himself, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What are they named? Christians. That's our name. What is your name? This is our name. We're Christians. Thankful that Almighty God would call us out of darkness, give us a heart for Him, put us in Him, keep us in Him, as Brother Scott said. 1 Peter 4:16, he said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, that God has made him what he is, a Christian. I realize that in this day and age, everybody claims to be a Christian. And anybody that has any association with any kind of religion, I guess, Protestant, is a Christian. But I'm going to tell you, a Christian is one that Almighty God has caused to see and to know something about Himself. No confidence in myself. We're going to look at that in just a second. And all confidence in Him. As salvation is of the Lord in its inception, procurement, and application. Salvation is of the Lord. Saved by the grace of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. A Christian. So Paul says, for this cause, because I'm placed in this jail, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Himself, of whom, Christ, the whole family in heaven and earth, is named. And then he says in verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now here, Paul prays that the believers, Ephesus, yes, but all believers, that we might be strengthened inwardly in the inner man, in that new man, in that new heart, in the seat of God's grace, that which the Lord has imparted. This strength that we have, it's been granted. That's what he says, that he would grant you. Strength is not something that we possess. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So if there's any strength, and I'm going to tell you in a second what it is. He's praying that the Lord would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. This strength, it's a gift of God because it's granted. And this granting of strength is according, the Scripture says, to the riches of His glory. I told you one time when Moses asked the Lord, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory." And that word glory, the root word of glory, is opinion, to think. And this is what Moses asked the Lord. "Show me what you think. I want to know, Lord, would you show me your opinion?" And he said this, the Lord said this, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." Then the Apostle Paul in Romans 9 said, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, "So then, it's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth." What is it? "But it is of God who showeth mercy." So glory, the glory of God, is that Almighty God does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. That no man stays His hand. His glory is that He's God. He's God. God Almighty. And Paul said, "I pray," in verse 16, "that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory." According to the riches of His opinion. According to the riches of His will. And His desire. And His purpose. Strengthened to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, this strength that we're granted, what is it? What is it? Well, I think it's actually twofold. Let me tell you what the first part of it is. It is a glorious revelation to God's people. Here's the first point of strength. It is to realize that we're totally impotent. Number one, here's true strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." When I am made to see that I am totally impotent. And my strength is also in knowing that He is almighty. Listen to Psalm 28:7. "The Lord is my strength." We would say, "Lord, give me strength." The psalmist says that our strength is the Lord. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I'm helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." So, strength, true strength, is realizing that I'm impotent. When I realize that I cannot, where else can I go? Lord, Peter asked, the Lord asked the disciples, when all the disciples were leaving and they walked no more with Him, and the Lord said, "Will you go away also?" Peter said, "Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. We're sure. You're the Christ. You're God. You're God in human flesh. You're the Christ. The Lord is our strength." So true strength is knowing that I have nothing to contribute. I cannot guide myself. I do not know what I can do. I can only trust Him. I look to Him alone. The Lord who is my salvation. He's my sustenance. How am I going to keep myself? His strength. He said, I'll never leave you. Oh, Lord, help me to believe that. I want to believe that. I do believe it. Lord, help me to believe it. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit who teaches, the Comforter, who brings all these things to your memory. The things that the Lord has said. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And then He said in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. What a thought. Now, I can only say with assuredness what the Lord has said. I cannot perceive the magnitude of it, but I can say that Almighty God has declared. Paul says, I'm praying that the Lord would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. David, where is your God? Our God is in the heavens. We believe that. We know that. What's He doing, David? He's doing whatsoever He pleases. I believe that. I tell you what else I believe. I believe that He is seated right now. He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I believe that. I believe that right now, the one who was ever before the Father, the one that was brought up with Him, the one who was ever His delight. I believe that God Almighty, who was made flesh, right now in this assembly, are two or three gathered together in my name. He said, I'm in the midst of you. There's a special gathering together. And the Lord is in the presence of His people. I believe that. And I'll tell you what else I believe. That Christ dwells in the heart of His people by faith. They know it. They know it. He dwells. The one who came into this world, who walked this earth for 33 plus years, who established righteousness for His people, righteousness that they're robed in, obedience, righteousness, holiness that He earned as the God-man. The one who hung upon the cross, made sin. The one who died, buried, rose again, third day, ascended into heaven. The very one who the apostles watched. The angels said these. He's coming back, just like you see, He's coming back. That He dwells by faith in your heart. Now there is a special, it is by faith, he's there. And I've read that, and I've looked at it, and I thought, he's there. He dwells in our heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thinking, how I need to be reminded of his presence. How the very thought right now that Christ would indwell his people by faith, not a casual visitor, dwells affectionately. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He speaks to his bride in Song of Solomon. He said, you've ravished me with one of your eyes. He said, I love you. I love you. The one who died for his people dwells in them. And we believe him. We believe him. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, firmly grounded in love for him. Lord, I believe you. Help mine unbelief. Lord, I love you who first loved me. Rooted and grounded in love. Love for him, for his word, for his people. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now I know this. I know that in this life, with this little finite mind, I know that I will not, no one in this world is going to completely comprehend. But with the light that we have, we do comprehend some things. He has given us some instruction. And with this new mind, that I know we see through a glass darkly, but we see. And the apostle says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. Breath of what? Of his love. It's into the next verse. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. What is the breath of the love of Christ? Well, I tell you, I know this, it reaches to all his people. 2,000 years ago, plus, he laid down his life for the sheep. That's not where his love started. He laid down his life because he loved them. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. That goes back farther than my mind can even comprehend. Everlasting. I can't even think everlasting. If there was some starting point, I might be able to comprehend something of that, but I can't comprehend everlasting. He said, I've always loved you. Before there was anything but God, he said, I loved you. I can't grasp eternity, but I know this, according to his word, his love for his people never started. And coming this side of the cross, that breath of his love that reaches even to this moment for all of his elect, that blood that is effectual, he who ever liveth, that we may comprehend with all the saints what is the breath, the length. This is the only thing that I can say concerning the length. It'll never end. It's just tied right in there with the breadth and the length. He doesn't make it a secret. He tells His people. He said, I love you, and His Spirit bears witness to our heart through His Word, teaching us, comprehending the breadth and the length and the depth. How deep does His love go? I'll tell you, He reached to the most fallen, depraved, rebellious sinner. Martin Luther said, if we ever got a glimpse of our depravity, we'd go insane seeing what we really are. We don't realize what we are. Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, spoke of, O wretched man that I am. We don't realize how wretched we are. But I tell you this, the depth of the love of God reached down in those everlasting arms and brought us from the mire of our depravity. That's what He was made, and lifted us up, creatures who were wrathful toward Him. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the height of His love, by His will and by His power, I tell you how high His love is. He's going to bring us to God. It don't get any higher than that. He's going to bring us to God. He said, I and the children that You gave Me. We're all here. We're all here. No vacancies. Bring us to the Lord. And how high is it? How high is that love? He said, I'm going to present you faultless. No blame, no spot, no such thing. How high? Seated with Him. If God Almighty didn't tell us that, that'd be blasphemous to say that, wouldn't it? But it's not. Seated with Him. Ever with Him. Ever in His presence. Oh, the height of His love. And then 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a blessing. To know the love of Christ. That is, to have a sense of it. To have an experience of it. I cannot comprehend it. I know that. But it's as though, even now, just maybe for a moment, that we might just get a glimpse, like those three that were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and his garments, his face shone brighter than the noonday sun. Just a glimpse. That we might know something of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Unsearchable. Not able to search it out. To have a sense of that love of Christ who has ever stood as the surety. I'll answer. I will redeem them. I will ever live as their intercessor. Never began to be the intercessor. Always. Oh, how our love for Him pales to nothingness. We love Him, But in our estimation of it, how embarrassed we are. We consider He who loved us. And then Paul says that, he said that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, going back to verse 17, he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then when he says in verse 19, the latter part, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, Christ is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. Christ is, look at Colossians 1:19. God Almighty, the Son, was made flesh. He is the Messiah. He's the Christ. Christ is God-man. He's God-man. Deity, humanity. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness. What fullness? The fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of God. Bodily. Verse 17 says, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Verse 19, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, the blessedness of knowing God's mercy that would grant us His glorious presence. Verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here, Paul is encouraging us to praise and to magnify the Lord that we cannot comprehend. Praise and bless Him in all of our being. We would never come up to what He's worth in our praise. But He said to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly everything that He wills. In the salvation and preservation of His people, He who is able, He's able to do above everything or anything that we ask or think. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what to think. I don't know. But He does. And my God is going to supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I say, Lord, thank you. And thank you is not enough, but thank you. In all things, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We have no idea, Pat, what He's doing. But I can tell you this. It's going to be for His glory and it's going to be for our good. I know that. Unto Him that's worthy, worthy to be praised and honored. And Paul finishes and he says in verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So be it. So be it. Let us, as the redeemed bride of Christ, the church, through the Mediator Himself, the way to God the Father, give glory. Glory unto Him throughout all ages, world without end. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those that love Him. But by the grace of God, one day real soon, we're going to see Him as He is. And I'll tell you what, when we see Him, Carl, we're going to know Him. We're going to know Him. We're going to know Him. And we're going to look at Him, look on Him. Job says with these eyes, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see God. And I'm going to look on Him who was pierced for me. And I'm going to know Him. Listen to this. As I'm known. I mean, we just relate what God has said. We say these things are too high for us. These things that the world would say, well, that's just simple understanding. Well, not for me. I thank God for it. I thank the Lord for it. But I love setting forth the Lord that I can't understand. Magnifying and praising His name because He's God. God Almighty. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.